97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Okay, operator error there. Still trying to get used to some buttons, and Ethan's in here telling me what I did wrong, so I'm going to try. Sue Thomas is in the studio. We've got Sue's news in the next hour here on 97.1 FM Talk. Let me get to the focus group. I think I stated before the break when we were talking with Josh that this was Pennsylvania voters. It's not. These are voters in Georgia, African-American voters in Georgia. But I think it's pretty, you know, pretty on point to what you would probably see in Pennsylvania, although maybe just a different demographic with working class people. But every time I see a focus group with people asked about this, black people in particular, about the presidential race, they're very suspicious of Kamala Harris. And they should be. Don't get me wrong. But I find it interesting. So here's a little bit of a sample from this group in Georgia.
Hand up if you think the economy is better under Trump. And hands up if you think the economy is better under Biden and Harris.
All right. He'll give you the math.
Okay. 7-1. That's pretty clear.
Yeah. So in case you're math challenged, which I am, there were eight people and there was one dude that raised his hand for Kamala Harris. The rest of them said, nope. Probably not. And they went into some details here with this particular interviewer on the focus group.
I'm not saying he's like, of course, yeah, like I dare say, he has best. He still has a business mindset. I think that lended somewhat. And I think, yes, the trickle down of whatever previous stuff. And I think he just handles certain things a little better.
She's talking about Trump.
Who does?
Trump.
Then?
He provided more jobs, more opportunities, stimulus. Even though he didn't have any experience in politics, but he came in and did a much better job. If you look at the statistics now, we're far more worse now.
So those are just real people. Those are not pundits. Those
Very
are not insiders. Those are black voters in Georgia being asked questions about each of these candidates and what they like about them and what they might not like about them. And then, you know, maybe some distrust issues as well. I think this is, let me see if this is the bite on leadership here.
Mikhail, how about you?
Everything that glitters ain't gold.
No, I like this. So let me lead this a little bit better. So, you know, I think that the question is sort of focused here on, you know, what's your feeling about Kamala Harris and why are you sort of leaning against her? And she focuses on the style of her substance, really.
Mikhail, how about you?
Everything that glitters ain't gold.
Yeah, for sure.
Very, it looks great on paper. But I'm not sure it's going to translate to politics and if she'll even be able to get it passed.
Hey,
my thing is her strength, and that's my focus with her. You know, is she gonna be able to take a punch and give one or two back? You know, I that's my biggest thing, and it has nothing to do with her gender, ladies. No.
Yeah, he was surrounded by a bunch of women, and he wanted to make sure that he was being very careful
right.
there. But you know that, and that's echoed here. I got one more bite. But he was focusing in on, and a couple of those voters were focusing in on, wait a second, does she have the strength, the courage to make tough decisions on the world stage? And they don't feel that from this particular candidate. They're accurate. Of course, yep. we know that. That's the right feeling. But to me, it's interesting that it's bleeding through to African-American voters.
You can't be weak and hold that over.
Yeah, like if you put her next to Michelle Obama, it's like...
Or Hillary Clinton.
Or Hillary Clinton, it's like it's no comparison on the strength that I think Michelle Obama or Hillary Clinton would have against her. Did what they would eat her up.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Wow.
You know, and they, by the way, they all agreed, you know, that's an interesting comparison. Of course, Michelle Obama's name was mentioned as the savior to ride in, and I think everybody knew two things, that she wasn't going to do it, but if she did do it, she would have smoked Trump, and she would have won the election hands down. And, you know, you kind of heard, you know, they even said nicer things about Hillary Clinton than they did Kamala Harris. So that's fascinating to me as well. And these are real things that people are going to react to and make their decisions on. Now, let me kind of segue this into, I love hearing real people, and you don't hear real people enough. It shouldn't just be real focus groups where you hear real people. And I want to mention something here about a comment I read this morning from my friend Bernie Goldberg. Bernie wrote a book many years ago called Bias about the media. He worked at CBS News. He blogs these days. He used to be a regular guest on the show. He's kind of off into his podcast world right now. But one of the people that I always mention and I miss terribly is this guy, Tim Russert. Used to host Meet the Press when it was good on NBC News every Sunday.
Good morning and welcome to Meet the Press. If I told you it was 25% of your state lived below the poverty line, would you believe me?
I couldn't believe it. Yes.
Are these the kinds of things the governor should know? Who the largest employers are? How many people live below the poverty?
You hear the intensity there?
Yeah.
He actually...
You said that part of your $40 billion deficit is $180 billion.
Yes, may I finish?
May I finish? It was a simple question.
Please. Yeah, so he held people's feet to the fire all the time. And I've said this, Sue, so many times. I miss Tim Russert. I miss Tim Russert. Here I am on a Monday. I open up my computer. I see Bernie talking about an interview that he did with Tim Russert. And Tim, by the way, for people who don't know, Tim Russert died in June of 2008. He had a heart attack. It was a complete surprise. And everything changed in journalism, I think. Now, Tim Russert also worked, I don't know if you know this or how many people know this, he worked for a Democrat. Democrat Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who was a loud, boisterous New York senator. And I think still pretty left-wing, even by today's standards, right? This is when Democrats used to represent working class people. So Bernie sat down with Tim Russert and asked him some questions about journalism, which I thought were fascinating. And they go along the lines of some of the things that I say. I've said this before. Some of you know this. Why in the world wouldn't the New York Times or the Washington Post or NBC or ABC, why wouldn't they have a bureau? We used to have news bureaus here in the middle of the country. Talk to real people in Missouri or in Oklahoma or in Kentucky.
I don't think they care.
So they don't care. But Bernie asked Tim Russert about fair journalism, and he says this: the key to fair journalism was always respecting another person's views and never suggesting that anyone had a monopoly on correctness. And that should be the centerpiece of being a journalist. You don't get to go out there bringing your profession an attitude that you know what is right for the country, or you know what is a view or a progressive one or the appropriate one to have. Now, just take that in and of itself. That is the exact opposite. The complete opposite of where journalism is today. So Bernie asks him this question. Again, this goes back to the early 2000s when he's asking these questions. He says, does your blue-collar radar detect an elitism even amongst your colleagues? Sure, Russert says. Some, among politicians, among journalists, it exists. This is great right now, what he says. I am all for having women in the newsroom and minorities in the newsroom. I'm all for that. But just as well, let's have people with military experience. Let's have people from all walks of life, people from top-tiered echelon schools, but also from junior colleges and so-called middling schools. That's the rich pageantry of America, Tim Russert said. He's right about that. Another question. Tim, you seem to be a real proponent of diversity. You believe in it when it comes to race and gender because it's better to have lots of people with different points of view. I'm a great believer in racial diversity and gender diversity, but you need cultural diversity. You need ideological diversity. You need it. We don't have that at all.
Nope.
Question. Why the closed-mindedness when the subject comes around to media bias? There are a whole bunch of people in the world of journalism and the world of academia who just shut the discussion down. Russert, that to me is totally contrary to who we're supposed to be as journalists. My view was invite Bernie Goldberg and bias on my show. That's central to who we are. Let's talk about it. The rest of the mainstream media, I mean, Bernie Goldberg should have been featured on CBS 60 Minutes to talk about media bias, but of course, he was writing about them, so he couldn't be. But it is kind of amazing when you look back to this. And, you know, when Bernie wrote an op-ed in 1996 that was in the Wall Street Journal, Russert says, the first person I talked to that morning was Tom Brokaw. And I feel like people need to know who Tom Brokaw is, though. He was a legendary anchor for NBC News for a long time. And he says, did you see the piece? And he said, I sure did. I told him that I was going to give it out down here in Washington. I talked to people about it. I said, we've got to engage on this issue. It's imperative that we talk about this issue. If someone suggested that there was anti-black bias, that there was anti-gay bias, anti-American bias, we'd sit up and say, let's talk about this. Let's tackle it. Well, if there's liberal bias or cultural bias, we have to sit up, tackle it, and discuss it. We've got to do these things. No one's ever done them, right? I miss Tim Russert so dearly. He was right about all this stuff.
Get more at 971talk.com.